Rainmaker FM.
This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. Hello there. It is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone, and I'm the Chief Content Officer for Copyblogger and Rainmaker Digital. Remember, you can always get show notes for every episode, and those usually include links, sometimes some free extras, by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm. And that's also where you can get the complete show archive. So recently I was listening to a live session that Joanna Wiebe was giving. So Joanna has this amazing site called Copy Hackers, and it's more of a straight conversion copy site. So conversion copywriting, I'm going to talk in a little bit about the difference between that and content. But I totally consider this like a fabulous sister site to Copyblogger. I would absolutely recommend you check them out. And Joanna in this session said something that blew my mind. So I'm going to just paraphrase, but this is the gist. It's a copywriter's job to be really, really good at listening and then make it all sound good. So this, it really did, it just blew my mind. So that sounds simple, and it is simple, but I was really blown away by just how much this simple phrase really did encapsulate what we do. And it is an approach Copyblogger has preached forever. We never expressed it quite that way, but listening is one of the most powerful things that any writer, any kind of writer, can do. You know, you just keep those antenna out. You listen in on social media, you listen in on coffee shops, conferences, live events, other people's podcasts, Facebook comments. Anywhere that your audience might hang out is where you spend a lot of time listening and really, you know, listening for problems and also ways that people talk about those problems. It's so important to listen and empathize with your audience so that you can understand what's bugging them, what's bothering them. Now, Joanna is more of a conversion copywriter. I am more of a content writer. And I thought I might talk a little bit about an interesting tension between what we call copy and what we call content. So content that has no writing voice at all typically just doesn't cut it. Very, very rarely can you create content that lacks a voice, because you have to have some personality or it's just too boring. It's too boring to watch. It's too boring to read. But sometimes with copy, with copywriting, you don't want as much voice. And so those two terms, when I say copy in this context, I mean language that's intended to convert an audience from one state to another state. So most commonly, when we talk about copy or copywriting, we're talking about converting somebody from being a prospect, someone who's interested in something, to being a customer, somebody who's bought that something. So we have two words. We have content and we have copywriting. And there is a lot of overlap, but for me, that's probably the most important difference. Copywriting is language that's intended to spark a specific state change at a particular moment in time. And sometimes a writer's voice can get in the way of that. You know, sometimes you see there's too much you, so there's too much of the writer or there's too much of the business, and there's not enough them. There's not enough of the reader or the customer or the client. But all of this gets very murky, and it overlaps and it weaves one into the other, because good content needs to change the audience state as well. Otherwise, I'm not sure why we spend so much time on it. You know, so content often does have that job of getting somebody to go, for example, from being a reader to being a subscriber, or even, you know, from being an angry citizen to being a registered voter. Content can do that work, and it should do very often the work of creating a state change. But often content will have a little bit more me. In other words, a little bit more of the writer of a personal voice. So content is where we tend to use more personal observations, more stories that are really told from the heart with a specific point of view, more of those, you know, careful details that make fiction or screenwriting or poetry come alive. And content writers, distinct from the straight conversion copywriter, often does tend to walk a little bit closer to that line between personal expression and self-indulgence. You know, we don't want to cross over into self-centeredness. That's not serving anybody. Content writers, like fiction writers, record and communicate our observations, our emotional states, in order to fire off those mirror neurons in the audience, in order to convey empathy. I express something emotional, and you have an emotional reaction that mirrors that. You and I feel the same things. We have the same pain. Now, when it's content, and specifically when it's content marketing, it's tied to strategy. So that means that we then move on to a conversation about what to do with that, you know, that difficult state or that pain state. So it's not like, let's say, a literary novel that just, you know, conveys the emotion and then you process it on your own. With content, it's our goal to move to the conversation about fixing what's not going properly in our life. And I think where content and where copywriting have a big wide area of overlap is that word, empathy. So we have to, as writers, we have to walk their walk. We have to walk the walk of our audience. And we have to understand where it hurts. And then I think we have to have a warm, kind feeling about it, almost a protective feeling. So there's a really good copywriter. His name is Nick Usborne. He has been writing a fair amount for Copyblogger, which I'm really delighted about. And I also interviewed him for the podcast. And Nick calls his approach conversational copywriting. But even more than that conversational approach, I really love his empathy-first approach. And Nick wrote a post for us called How Copywriters Can Leverage the Power of Feel-Good Chemicals to Make More Sales. And of course, Mr. Google can point you to that, or I will give you a link in the show notes if you like links. You just go to copyblogger.fm and that'll pop up for you. So quoting from Nick's post, your role as a copywriter is to stimulate the release of feel-good chemicals. And what Nick is talking about there is that it's our job as writers to make our audience's brains feel good. And in a commercial context, to create an environment of trust and safety so that the person who's reading or listening to the podcast or watching the video can move forward with the solution that we have to offer. I think that's actually not talked about enough in traditional copywriting education. Somebody who is freaked out is not going to take action. If you create too much of a fear state in your prospect, fear states are not conducive to action other than evasive action, running away, right? You know, we see a big predator and we run away. It's the fight or flight. So you have to manage that. You have to make sure your copy's not pushing your audience over the line into a state that's actually unhelpful. And I kind of think of this, I'm certainly not the only one who does, is that factor. You know, you see it in yourself all the time. You're reading something, you're listening to something, and then it turns into a really hard push, like a really manipulative push that's trying to make you feel bad. And you just say, and you go away. You know, you get up and leave. It's so easy to do online. A little harder to do in a conference or an event. Very easy to do on a website. And it's probably that ease of clicking away that makes copywriting today something of a departure from maybe the more traditional way of thinking about conversion copy. You know, in the old days, the Mad Men days, the most traditional approach to advertising was you would make people feel bad, and then you would present yourself as the savior to that bad feeling. So you would create copy that made somebody feel insecure and unattractive, and then you would present your product as the magical secret to attractiveness. So this episode is all about walking those fine lines, about not going too far one direction or the other. And there is a pitfall here as well, if you want to write this kind of feel-good copy, which is that we can be so good at making audiences feel wonderful that we can enable them to ignore their actual problems. You know, we don't want to enable ignoring a problem that's actually really messing them up and causing them real damage. So if somebody has a real problem, it's not a kindness to avoid mentioning it. So I'll give you an exaggerated example. Let's say somebody has a business and every day that person comes into the Copyblogger Facebook group and they talk about how they hate marketing and it's sick and it's evil and it's manipulative and that's the only way to look at it, so they're going to let their business die. You know, and while they're at it, they're going to go full John Cusack. And I will give you a link to the full quote, but you know, the famous quote from the movie Say Anything, I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, process anything as a career. And it goes on from there. So this person is so ideologically pure that they don't want to work for anybody who sells anything either. So, you know, that doesn't leave a lot of options, right? I mean, possibly, you know, mendicant monk going from house to house with a begging bowl. I mean, not a lot of career options open, right? So if we took this exaggerated person with this exaggerated negative feeling about marketing and selling, it's not really a kindness for me to fail to mention that that person might have some other options. You know, that maybe there could be some ways to approach marketing in a way that wasn't manipulative or deceptive, and that person would get to keep his business, and maybe, you know, selling things and buying things and processing things is not the end of your life as an ethical person. Now, I might convince this person, and I might not, but I don't think I'm doing them a favor not mentioning it because I think it would make them feel bad. So that's what I mean by walking a line. On one side of the line, it's creepy to slam people into insecurity in order to exploit them. That's creepy, and it is unethical. And on the other side, we all know from our own relationships, our own friendships, that sometimes you have to bring up uncomfortable topics. Sometimes that's healthy. So we can do that from a place of harshness or judgment, or we can do it from a place of empathy and kindness. And, you know, I know what kind of person I prefer to be friends with, but not everybody is like me. You have to know your people. There are some people who want that, you know, as they always say, the boot in the ass. It's a very specific kind of person, and almost 100% of the time, somebody wants a boot in the ass about one topic, but they really don't want the boot in the ass about something else. So if that's your person, you really have to be a close, careful observer. You have to make sure it's actually working and that it's working long term. It's not typically a good motivator for change. I mean, there's actually quite a lot of good research that bullying people or shaming people is a really crummy way to create change, but it does depend on the context and it does depend on the person. I don't like it and I don't recommend it, but I'm also not here, you know, to tell you how you must do things. I'm here to suggest things that you might want to do that are more effective. So that's today's kind of high-level copywriting tip, which is your job if you write content or record content, or you write copy, you write sales copy, is to be the chief empathy officer. So to really deeply understand the people that you're serving and to really dig and dig and keep digging into their real problems, the ones that are really causing them life problems, and make sure that you have real solutions. And if you don't, find some. You know, make sure you're marketing a real solution to that pain, not just a Band-Aid. And then to express and empathize that pain, but in a way that's respectful and not brutal. And communicate it in a way that creates a bond so that you're working on solutions together and not screaming at them or shaming or bullying them. And then, you know, you decide where the line is for the piece that you're working on today. So is the piece that you're creating today something that is going to express something about yourself, maybe to create a bond of more empathy? You know, could you share something, a struggle of your own that would create the bond? Or maybe today is a better time to stay out of the picture, make it more about them, about someone else, and really paint their issues without necessarily muddying the waters with what's going on with you. You know, every day, every piece of content, we look at those lines and we decide the most effective place to put ourselves in the context of that line. So that is today's, hopefully not too rambling and discursive, but I just wanted to get a little bit high level about some of the issues that we deal with every day as content creators, as marketers, as copywriters. This fall, we are going to be talking a fair amount about copywriting, about conversion copywriting, and then about content and how they get woven together. And of course, those are very evergreen topics for Copyblogger. Those are topics you can always find more about by visiting copyblogger.com. So that's it for today. Looking forward to talking with you next time. Take care.